We're holding on Lamed Aleph on the Aleph, the third line from the top. The last Jirasha that the Mishnah had mentioned, that they taught, but Lamed Aleph on the Aleph, the last Jirasha that the Mishnah had taught, that the Mishnah had told us that they taught Bo B'Yom, is Bo B'Yom Gerasha B'Shur Ben Hokunus, or B'Shur Ben Hokunus Adarshim, Shle Ovid Iyav Hulo, that Iyav Suv Hashem out of love. There's a pasuk that says, Hei Niktaleni, even if he killed me, Loi Ayachel, where we said that loy on the face of it could have two possible meanings. It could mean to him, loy with a vav, I will still hope. I still look forward to his to meeting him in Gan Eden, so to basking in Vimashchina in Gan Eden.
How can you say that Hashem would kill?
That he was suffering from all kinds. He'd lost all his possessions, his children. Yes. He himself was he's saying, no matter what the Eibishter does to me, even if he kills me, I still am going to continue my relationship with him. Or is it loya yachel? In that case, if he kills me, then I don't have any more halo. Then I give up on him. So we said that the Rishon Ben Hokunus said yes, but we have another passage in Iyov that says that Iyov says, no matter as long as I live, my also to mosi me many, I will never remove my tamus, I'll never remove my perfect emunah and neidishter. So we see that therefore that he served Hashem out of love. So then the Mishnah mentioned, Rabbi Yeshua said, Mi yigala ofer meinecha, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, halavai, you were alive to see this. You always said he served Hashem out of fear, and now you have the Talmud of your Talmud, Yeshua ben Hokunus, comes up and says that he served Hashem out of Ava.
Maybe it's both?
Well, the question is, not focusing so much on what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, but rather on what Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus is saying, that based on the pasuk Hei Niktaleni Loi Ayachel, that pasuk itself is equivocal, because you could understand it Loi with a Vav, or Loi with an Aleph.
Written with an Aleph?
It's actually a Chiyuv Ksiv. That's the Gemara's question. The Lechzi, Hai Loi, Iba Lamed Aleph Ksiv, Loi Hu. If it's written with an Aleph, then it means Loi, not Iba Lamed Vav Ksiv, Loi Hu. So what is it? Why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus say that we can't be sure from that pasuk? Why? Yeah. The answer is, the Gemara answers back, why? Why? Are you telling me, what actually is, we talked about this in the Mishnah, there's actually a Kri Ksiv there. The Ksiv is Loi with an Aleph. The Kri is Loi with a Vav. So basically what the Gemara is asking...
Kri Loi with a Vav, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's pronounced the same way, either way.
It's with a Vav.
But that's what we read. In other words, that's the point. It's written in the pasuk with an aleph. But when we read the pasuk and translate it, we translate it as if there was a vav there. There are a number of other places in Tanakh. All the Kriyot Ksiv are based on Masera. But there's a number of other places in Tanakh that are like that also. In Parshas Bahar, for example, there's a pasuk over there, Asher Lo Yichlova. That again is where it's with the Kriyot Ksiv over there. It talks about a house in a city that has a wall, but the Ksiv is Loichoma that does not have a wall. And in fact, we learned something from that Derosha. We learned that as long as it once had a wall in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, even if right now it doesn't have a wall. So over here, the question is basically, okay, we have a Kriyot Ksiv, but fine, we can easily figure out what the Pasuk is trying to tell us. Is it trying to tell us what
the primary meaning?
Yes, the primary meaning. So the Gemara answers back, why? Not necessarily. Why? Are you telling me that whenever we have a Kriyot Ksiv like that, where it says the word loy with an aleph, necessarily it means not?
No, we're
trying to generalize from that. If you're going to say that, but that's the question. I can prove to you, in other words, that we have another pasuk that we have a similar Kriyot Ksiv. We have a similar Kriyot Ksiv, loy, where even though it's written with an aleph, we can't understand it as meaning with an aleph. We have to understand that it means with a vav. So therefore, on the face of it, our pasuk in Iyov, that's what we're going to quote now, right? So Elamayata, what about the pasuk? We say it every morning in davening. B'chol tzarasam loy tzar, in all their tzara, not tzar. D'chtib v'lamet aleph, hachanami d'loyuhu. Does that mean in all the troubles of the Jewish people, loy tzar, the Eibishter, is not pained by them?
Not giving them
tzara? No, Rashi explains, Rashi and the Pasuk explains that the pshat of it is b'chol tzarasim, and all the tzaras that the Jewish people have ever suffered, lo tzara, the Eibishter has not given them all the tzaras that they really deserve. Okay, but when we say it every morning in davening, b'chol tzarasim, lo tzara, malach pon av Hashiyam, we're understanding it. B'chol tzarasim, in all their tzara, lo tzara, the Eibishter, to him is tzara, the Eibishter himself feels the pain of the Jewish people, or malach pon av Hashiyam, and he sends his malach to save us. So, but it's written with an aleph.
you could also interpret it that Kol Tzarach, I mean, all of the tzar, the hardship, Lotzar, it's not really total hardship.
Nah, that's not right, because there's been hardships of the Jewish people that have been real total, whatever. So, Hachin Hamid Deloyu, does that mean, are you going to say, because you have the same pre-oxid there, that the Eidishter does not feel their pain? The Chitem Hachin Hamid, and you could argue, okay, maybe yes, maybe the Pasuk is saying that the Eidishter is beyond that. No. V'hoxiv, the Pasuk continues, a Malach Pono V'shiyam, the Eidishter sends the Malach of his presence, meaning Malach Machol, to save them. So we see the Eidishter is pained by it, and then takes steps to mitigate it. Actually, the Rif on Ein Yaakov explains that the point of what the Gemara is saying is, if you were going to say loy tzor, not loy tzor, then the Eibishter doesn't care about it, chas v'shalom, but if you were going to argue that the previous pasuk says about the Eibishter and the Jewish people, by Hilahem l'Mashiach, he is the one who saves the Jewish people. So why all of a sudden are we bringing in a malach over here? That's the verb. Because b'chol tzaras and loy tzar, because the Eibishter himself feels the tzara, therefore, so to speak, he has to send a malach to help us, which in turn, therefore, he's helping himself as well. If it meant loy tzar, if the Eibishter does not feel that pain, then there's no need to send a malach, and he himself will take care of it. The fact that it's mentioning a malach implies that it means loy tzar, that the Eibishter feels the pain.
It forces him to send a malach,
like, so to speak, to get rid of the problem, not only for ourselves, but also because he himself is feeling the pain, and therefore
he could do it himself without a malach.
Okay, but he could do it on his timetable, whatever, like this, he does it on our timetable, is the point. Anyway, so therefore, so you see that just because a pasuk is written with a kriyuksiv like that, loy, aleph, but read as if it was above, doesn't necessarily mean that the pasuk has a meaning with the word loy, with an aleph. So how can you say in our pasuk in Iyov, hey, Yuxaleni, loy ayachel, that you could possibly understand it, that you could possibly understand it with an aleph? So the answer is elolav mashmahochi or mashmahochi. Evidently it does. In some cases it can mean one, in some cases it can mean the other. So therefore that's why Rabbi Yishuv ben Hurkan is saying that based on that one pasuk in Iyov, you can't really be sure whether it was me'av or me'yira until you have the other pasuk at Ezvalei also Trimasi Mimeni, which clarifies that he's saying I'm always going to retain my relationship with the Eibishter, and therefore that tells us that at the previous pasuk that he means loy ayachel, I always will hope, I always will continue to hope for a relationship with the Eibishter.
That was present in coffee.
Yeah. Tanya of Me'oimer, we have another way of knowing that Iyov served Hashem out of Ahava. Nema Yirei Elikim b'Iyov, by Iyov it starts off in Sefer Iyov describing him through the first pasuk, calls him Ishtam v'Yosher v'Yirei Elikim, that he feared the Eivishter. V'Nema Yirei Elikim b'Avram, by Avram it also says, Ki Yadayti Ki Yirei Elikim Ata, Ki Yadayti Ki Yirei Elikim Ata, and after the Akedah. So, Ma Yirei Elikim ha'Omam b'Avram me'Ava, just like by Avram, it doesn't only mean that he fears Hashem as in he fears punishment or he fears the majesty of Hashem or whatever, it means that he loves Hashem. The same thing by Iyov, it also means that he served Hashem out of love. So by Avram himself, how do we know Yirei Elikim Ata means that he served Hashem out of love? Just as Zera Avram Ayavi, because it says in a pasuk in Yeshaya describes the children of Avraham who loved me. So we see that Avraham loved the Eibishter. Zera Avraham Ayavi, the children of Avraham who loved me. Meaning it's Avraham loved the Eibishter. Yeah, there is actually, you're mentioning, I mean, the reason why the Rebbe brings in a sicha that the Mitzvah Rebbe once explained, that yes, the reason why we're bringing in the children over here is to say, how do we see the true Ava of Avraham, the fact that he transmitted it to his children? Whereas by here, we don't find any such thing. Yeah. But the point is, we see that Avraham is described as one who loved the Eibishter. So therefore, when it says Yirei Elikim, it means he feared Hashem, and from that Yirei he came to Ava. All over Chassidus, it talks about the idea that you have a lower level of Yira, and a higher level of Yira, a lower level of Ava, and a higher level of Ava, and they're interdependent. You start from the lower level of Yira, brings you to the lower level of Ava. Or no, the other way around. You start with a lower level of Ava, then the lower level of Yira, then I had it right the first time. Lower Yira, lower Ava, higher Ava, and then higher Yira. The higher Yira, Yira Boshes. It talks about it in many places in Tanya, where you have a Yira based on that, you'd be embarrassed to do anything wrong in the Eibishter's presence. That's the higher level. Because, well, that's Ava. But Yira is the lower level of Yira. Yudas Aroimimus, you realize how great Hashem is and how could I disobey him. Yudas Boishas is beyond that, where I'd be embarrassed to do anything that would be against what Hashem wants. And that's an outgrowth of Ava. So there's an Ava that's an outgrowth of Yira, and there's a Yira that's an outgrowth of Ava. When we say over here Yirei Alikimata, what we mean is Avram had Ava, and he had the higher Ava, and he had the higher Yira that comes from that. And so we're saying the same thing is true of Yira. My hikav ben oisim ha'ava la oisim yira. So what is the actual difference between somebody who serves Hashem out of love and somebody who serves Hashem out of fear? The answer is, there is the following difference, what we learn in a b'raisa, Rav Shimon al-Azaymer, gadol ha'oisim ha'ava yoisim min ha'oisim yira. Someone who does mitzvahs out of love is greater than somebody who does mitzvahs out of fear. Shezet tolu la'elaster, v'zet tolu la'alpayimder. Because in the case of somebody who does miyira, his reward is hanging over there, meaning it's available for his descendants to protect them for 1,000 generations. The Zeb, but when he does Me'ava, Tolu La'alpayim, it's available for 2,000 generations. By the way, Rashi points out over here, back on Daf Chavez a week and a half ago, about the seven kinds of Purushim, all negative types, and the last two were Parush Me'ava, Parush Me'ira, and in fact, Abaya and Rava told the Tana, don't include those, because at least the person is doing Me'ava and Me'ira, it's not so bad, eventually he'll come to do it Lishma. But it sounds like those are negative types. Here we're talking about it as very high levels in Avodas Hashem. So Rashi explains the difference is Ava and Yira that we're talking about over there is Ava of the reward that the Eibishter gives, and Yira of the punishment. Here we're talking about higher levels of Ava v'Yira. Ava of Hashem himself and Yira of Hashem himself, yeah. We did say, though, at the time over there, we said there, Tosfos had quoted over there from the Yerushalmi, that in fact, to begin with, only has five Purushim in that list. They left that Ava v'Yira entirely because the Yerushalmi took the view that Parush me'Ava, Parush me'Yira are high levels, not like all Gemara is saying that they're not so great, but okay, Meter Shalom L'Shma V'L'Shma. The Yerushalmi actually says that Yira, an example of it is Yehov, Ava, an example of it is Avraham Avinu, and the best, really, the only really good one out of all the seven is Avraham, Parush Me'Ava. Anyway, so Yira, a person has reward that works for his descendants for 1,000 generations, Ava is 2,000. Why? Hachakziv la'alofim, in the Aseret HaDibros, it says that Hashem preserves the reward la'alofim for thousands, meaning 2,000 generations, la'oyavai l'shem ha'mitzvot, for those who love me and for those who keep my mitzvot. V'hachakziv, and you have a pasuk at the end of Parashat Va'eschanan, l'shem ha'mitzvot la'elef der, for those who keep Hashem's mitzvot for 1,000 generations. The assumption is, we're saying, shem ha'mitzvot means people who keep mitzvot out of Yira. Especially because Shomre is like his Shomer, is like an expression of a loisa, says, yeah. Question is why? Also, Nami exceeds loyavo, l'shem mitzvotiv la'elavter. Why? Right before the word l'shem mitzvotiv, it says the word loyavo. So maybe the pasuk in Rosh Chanan also means that oyavov only get 1,000 generations. The answer is ha'yel d'samichlei v'ha'yel d'samichlei. In each case, you have to look at what's adjacent to the number. In the Aseret HaDibros, the word la'alofim, 2,000, the next word is la'oyavai, to those who love me. L'shem mitzvot is later in the sentence. It's like not as closely connected. In the pasuk in Rosh Chanan, it's the other way around. L'oyavav is earlier in the pasuk. What comes right before la'elafter? L'shem mitzvot. So the Rashi points this out at the end of Parshas Rosh Chanan, taken from our Gemara. So therefore, the alafim refers to the next thing, the oyavav. The elafter refers to the thing mentioned right before it, namely the shem mitzvot. Shem mitzvot. Incidentally, earlier in the Masechta we had when we were dealing with the idea that the Eibishter's midah of good is greater than the midah of Puranus, Tosfos pointed out over there that based on this we see that it's 500 times as much. Because in the Aseret HaDibros it says there that the Eibishter will punish the descendants with 3 or 4 generations based on their fathers, on their ancestors' deeds, if they're still doing the same kind of things, so up to 4 generations. Here we're saying up to 2,000 generations for good. 2,000 is 500 times 4. There were two Talmidim who were sitting in front of Rava and learning. Chad Amale, one says to Rava, Akri and Bechamoi, they read to me in my dream the following pasuk in Tehillim, Morav Tuch Hashet Safanta Berecha, how great is your goodness that you've hidden away for those who fear you. and the other one said, Akri and Bechomoi, I was read to, in my dream, it was read to me the Pasuk, another Pasuk from Tillim, the all those who trust in you should be happy, they will always rejoice, and they'll always be cheerful, joyful in you, those who love your name. So what does this mean? One idea, Masha talks about the idea that they're concerned about, okay, so we can see, obviously, one pasuk is talking about Yireecha, and the other one is talking about Oyev Eishmecha, but does that mean that we're only on the level of Ava V'Yira, the kind from Dachov Beis, Ava of reward and Yira of punishment? Amalahu, so Rava tells them, no, don't worry, Tavaychu Rabbanan Tzadikim Gmuriyatun, no, both of you, Rabbanan, are complete Tzadikim. The difference is, Ma'ame Ava, Ma'ame Yira, one is serving the Eivishter out of Ava, real Ava, meaning Ava of the Eivishter, not Ava of the reward, and the other one is serving Hashem out of real Yira, Yira of Yira. So Roy Mimos, Yira Boshe, as the case may be.
It's interesting, because every day we say in the Brachas, Yedish Mecha. We don't say
You're right. Okay, but in other places in davening, we
why don't we say Shmecha?
Because in that thing, and because of Torah, I guess it's not as relevant. But in other places, we mention that the Yachav Avinu L'Havel Yiras Shmecha, for example, in the brachas before Shema. Marshall talks about, though, the idea that maybe the Yira guy was primarily, his Yira was when he was in front of other people, because the Pasuk that was read to him in his dream, didn't quote the whole Pasuk over here, but the Pasuk continues, Marav Tzuchah Shatzapat V'Yachah, Pa'alta L'choysin Bachin Neged B'nei Adam, that you accomplished for those who trust in you in the sight of people. So in other words, maybe the Yira guy primarily showed his Yira when he's in front of other people. Maybe in private, he also served the Eibishter out of Ava, but when he was in public, he felt that it's more important to show Yira. And then, yeah, could be. Hadron al This next parak is probably the shortest parak in all of Shas in terms of Gemara. It's less than one block. We'll see if we can finish all of it today. Mishnah says, Mishikinin the Ishtar the Nistra, a man was Makane to his wife, and then there was Stira. Afimu Shoma me Oifa Pereach, so even if he heard from a flying bird, Yoytiv Yitin Ksuba, he should divorce her and pay her Ksuba. Digger Rabbi Yezer. What do we mean by flying bird? So, first of all, what exactly did he hear? There's a number of things to talk about before we even get further in the Mishnah. First of all, Tosfos points out, I don't understand, Tosfos says why this is a separate perek at the end of all the dinim of Sota. By rights, this should have been in the first perek, after the kinri, after the stira, before we start getting into the whole procedure of how the Sota is done, we should have been talking about this about these concepts. Okay, Akasha. What do we mean, Oifa Perek, yeah? So Rashi says that we mean Eidos from somebody who ordinarily would be possible Eidos. Like an Eved or a Shifcha. It's called Oifa Pereach in the sense like it's as if you just heard it from a bird flying in the sky. That has about as much, usually that would have about as much validity in Beis Din as a bird flying by and then chirping. But nevertheless, in this case, it has a certain validity. But Rambam talks about a different idea that it means basically there are rumors flying around, and there are actually some Mepharshim will explain, a number of Achronim explain based on the Rambam, that it literally means a bird. For example, you have a talking parrot. Parrots tend to mimic what they hear from people. So if you hear a parrot saying, so-and-so is Mazana, how does the parrot now know that? Mazana, because it heard from somebody saying. So therefore, there's not actual Eidos over here. Nobody actually came and gave Eidos and based it, but nevertheless, somebody had to have said it. What exactly is it that you're hearing from this Oifa Pereach? So Rashi says you're hearing Shinistira. You did the Kinui. Now you didn't know whether there was Stira, but you're hearing from Oifa Pereach. So Rabbi Eliezer had said back at the beginning of the Masechta that when it comes, you need two Eidim for Kinui, but you don't need any Eidim for Stira. Therefore, he goes according to his own shitta, that therefore, as long as you know about the stira, even if it's only from an Oifa Pereach, then already she's also to you. Now, and when we say, by the way, Rashi continues, when we say Yotziv Yitin Ksuba, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why Yotziv Yitin Ksuba? You can give her the salt of water to drink. Rashi says, right, what it means is you have your choice. You can give her the water to drink. If you don't want to, then you're gonna have to divorce her and give her a ksuba. You can't say she lost her ksuba because of the king of this theater, because you're the one preventing her from drinking. And we said before that in that case she gets her ksuba.
bit like going like magic and coming
here to the hurdle. No, so that's the thing. That's when you say you from a bird, that's what I'm saying. Coins are actually doesn't literally mean from a bird, just means from somebody who ordinarily would be possible Aedus. In this case, though, the Aedus is considered valid, according to Rabbi Yezer. According to the Rambam and according to these various Achronim, we're talking about, for example, yeah, whatever it is, you found out, however it is you found out. But the point is you found out by some way that's reasonably reliable.
So at that point, you have to accept that you can't be correct anymore.
Right, that's what we're saying. So the Tosfos Shams quotes from Rashbam, that Prifa Pireach means over here, you just hear rumors. Doesn't also literally mean a bird. It means that you're hearing rumors without the Yerushalmi talks about that Arifa Perdeach means basically like I heard but I don't remember who I heard from. That's Arifa Perdeach. So what did he hear exactly? So Rashi says he hears that there was fear. Tosfos talks about the possibility that it means actually that he heard it wasn't even there was fear. He heard it, there was kinri. Without even hearing that there was fear, he hears that there was pritzusa. We hear that she was acting in an unsneistic way. At this point, after the kinnery already, there's a certain raglayim l'dover, and therefore we're saying at that point, yeh tzvi yitn k'sovah. It's proper for him to divorce her, as it says at the end of Gittin, that, so that's our choice, thing, because at this point already you have raglayim l'dover. According to Rabbi Yezer, you don't need anything for Sphira. But besides that, anyway, we're talking about over here, it's not even the Oifa Pereach didn't say there was Sphira. According to Tosfos, it says there was Pritzus.
It was Pritzus.
Then the Rambam, on the other hand, holds the other way around, that what you heard from the Oifa Pereach is that Nitmah. You know there was Kinri, you had to do that in front of Edim, according to Rabbi Yezer. There was Sphira, you know that. According to Rabbi Yezer, you don't need Edim for it. The husband himself can see there was a Sphira, but whatever. But from the Oifa Pereach, you hear that she was actually Nitma. Okay, whatever it is. But then why you think so? Why you think so? If he knows that she's coming. Because there wasn't a proper... No, because according to the Rambam, that's the point. According to Rabbi Yezer, and Rabbi Yeshua has a different opinion, but whatever, according to both of the opinions in the Mishnah, once there's Oifa Pereach, or Moisrus Plavona, as we're going to talk about now, you can't give her the soita water anymore. But the point, because that's already, we learned in the first parak, we learned a limit from a pasuk, that excludes these cases where there's strong rumors going around. So therefore, on the other hand, Mepharshim say, so then why does she get the ksuba in that case if there is some kind of evidence that she was tummy, or according to various possibilities if it was feared or whatever, because when do we say that she forfeits her ksuba if she knew to begin with when she did the sira that there's no way she's going to be able to drink the soita water? Nowadays, for example, where there's no soita water, there's various cases that we learned in previous parakim where a woman's not able to drink for one reason or another. Here, as far as she knew at the time of the sira, she'd be able to drink. She didn't know that afterwards there's going to be this oifa kereyach. So therefore, you can't say that she forfeited her ksuba just based on the sira. Okay, that's Rabbi Yezer. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm actually used to be eaten with Moisrus Bilavana. No, just Oifa Pereach is not enough. You have to have, Rabbi Yeshua, remember I said at the beginning of the Masechta that you actually need two Edim for the Stira. But once you have that Moisrus Bilavana, the women who sit and spin flax by moonlight, or wool, whatever it is, the Rishali with the two possibilities, by moonlight, and they tend to talk about what's going on in town, Once they're talking about her kritzus, then already it actually says mechor hadavar. It's an ugly situation. Not technically fine. She's not maybe technically considered a soita, but again, the soita water at that point won't be able to be bodik her. Therefore, he ought to go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuba. He's not going to be able to give her the soita water at this point. If it does, it's not going to be able to clarify the situation.
Why doesn't it work?
Because that we learned from a pasuk in the first parak that when the pasuk says it's tahara, he implies that she's completely tahar, not when there's rumors going about like that.
In other words, it could be that the water will kill her.
Well, if it kills her, that kills her, obviously. But the point is, even if it doesn't kill her, it doesn't prove that she's innocent. Because once you have Moisrus Bilavana anymore, that's not the situation that the Torah was talking about, where there's supposed to be where the water was supposed to be used to check it. Continues the Mishnah. If even one aid says, I saw that she became tamei, then she wouldn't drink, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. And not only that, not only one kosher aid. Even if we have it, an eved or a shivcha says that, if they say that we saw that she became tamei, then they're believed even not only as far as that she has to be divorced, but even as far as that she loses her ksuba.
One aid.
Yeah. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, and we're going to learn again on the Gemara. Why? Continues the Mishnah. Chamoisa, the woman's mother-in-law, uvas chamoisa, or her mother-in-law's daughter, so her sister-in-law, v'tzarasa, or her co-wife, as we talked about in Yevamos, v'yivimta, or her yevama, her brother's wife, uvas baila, or her husband's daughter, so her stepdaughter. All these five cases we learned in Yevamos, though usually those five women would be expected to hate this woman. All of them see her as a potential rival, or she's going to be the one inheriting all the property, or whatever it is exactly. So therefore, we learned in Yevamos, for example, that usually we don't believe them on any aegis involving her, because they may be trying to mess things up for her. So even these five, Harela Nemanis, we do believe them as far as this aegis, because once the Torah is saying that you believe any aegis about her tshuva, then even these five are believed. However, not insofar as that they'll pass her for her tshuva, to that extent we don't believe them, only to say that she won't be able to drink. Which, by the way, a couple of Mepharshim ask a question. I mean, so then what are we saying? You know, what if they made up a rumor in order to, because they hate her, and now now they're going to cause that she gets divorced all based on that? So actually, the Or Sameach has an interesting idea. He says, what we're saying is that you shouldn't give her a drink. You shouldn't give her a drink because the fact is, one of these people said that she was tummy. If the Kohenim were over and gave her a drink, though, in this case, it will be effective. It will be effective. In other words, it will be a proper sota checking. It will be that if she comes out of it alive, then she's innocent, and if not, then she's guilty, as opposed to the previous case with the Moses Balabana, where even if they give her the water with debit, it's not going to, nothing's going to happen.
Because still there's a possibility.
But over here, since there is a possibility, after all, that one of these five women just made it up out of spite, then therefore you shouldn't, given that you have aegis, and the Torah is accepting such aegis, you shouldn't do a lot of chilug, but you did it, then it'll work. Continuing the Mishnah, Shahoya Bedin. Now you would think you would have a kavachomer about this that you're saying that you believe one aid about the tumah, you would think it shouldn't be so. Umayim aedus yoshoina shayna sarta isu oylam enim eskemas apostles mishnayim. Madach, the first aedus, the aedus of Sira, Rashi says, which does not after her forever, because eventually she can drink, and if she drinks and comes out of it alive, then she's mutter to her husband. And enim eskemas apostles mishnayim, it doesn't happen with less than two aedim. This is according to Rabbi Yeshua. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that Rabbi Yeshua says the kinuri can be the kinuri and the skira, we said according to Rabbi Yeshua at the beginning of the Masechta, we said both require two aidim. So the first aidus of kinuri and of skira, neither one has, even the aidus of skira doesn't ask her forever. Aidus achrena sheisar to isu olam, so the last aidus, meaning the aidus of tuma, which is going to forbid her to her husband forever. Ain't a din shalotis kaim pachim shayim, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that you need two aidim to establish it? No, Talmud Lema, the aid ain't ba. No, therefore the pasuk says there's no aidus in it on her, meaning kol aidus sheyeshba. Any aidus that is against her would prevent her from drinking the soda. When does she drink the soda water? The pasuk says the aid ain't ba, only if there's no aid against her. So any aidus, as long as there's some aidus, then she can't drink.
If it said the aidus ain't ba, then there would have been.
So the fact that it says the aid ain't ba teaches us there's no aid. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about how exactly we learn it from the pasuk that usually the word aid means two aidim, but over here basically what it means is that there's no aidim at all. There's no aidim at all. If there's even one aid, then that's enough to prevent her from drinking. We talked about what the aid is on, the sphere or the tumor, whatever. Okay.
At that point, with one aid
of tumor, yes, that's what we're saying. Yeah. Okay. Now, Kal v'chomer, the Eidos of Rishonim Mechatzer. Well, in that case, maybe you should flip around the Kal v'chomer. You assumed before that the Eidos of Rishonim needs two Eidim, which is how Rabbi Yeshua holds. Now that we established, based on the words, the Eid Ein Bo, that even one Eid of Tuma is enough to make her also to her husband, maybe now we should flip around the Kal v'chomer. Umayim Eidos Achrona Sheisav to Isu Oyla Madachol, the Eidos of Tuma, which asks her to her husband forever, Harei Miskayemes Be'eid Achorim. We're saying that it's established by one Eid. Eidus of Roshana Sha'ina Sarti Isra'ilim, so then the Eidus of Stira, which is not after her forever, Eid is interested in the Eid Achad, maybe indeed it should be established by one Eid. No. Tamad Lima, therefore the Pasuk says, Ki Matzaba Evastavar. You have a Pasuk that says that the husband divorces his wife because he found in her an improper matter, a matter of Eva, they use the word Dover. No, wait. Elsewhere, the Torah says, based on two edim, a matter should be established. So it uses the same word dover. The same way as over there, by edis mamun and edis nefashis and everything, you need two edim. The same way, when we say kimotzav ervas dover, edus on a matter of erva requires two edim.
What are you talking about?
At this point, we're talking about the seder, yeah. So we said that Rabbi Eliezer, what did we say at the beginning of the Masechta? We said that Rabbi Eliezer had said had brought a hekesh over there. We had a hekesh between stira and tuma. That just like tuma, it's a given that you only need one aid. Therefore, stira you also. Therefore, stira you also. A kav chomer is not something done by tradition.
I'm sorry, not a kav chomer.
Maybe he would argue that Motzah Ba'Erves Dover is talking about the first stage of it, the kinnah. Sometime during the process, there has to be two edim. So therefore, that's that. When it comes to the earlier stages of it, you need two edim. When it comes to the tumah, all you need then one ed is enough. Continue the Mishnah. Eid Omer Nitmes and Eid Omer Lo Nitmes. What if you have two Eidim? One of them says she became Tomei and one of them says not. So Rashi talks about, for example, in the next scenario, but I guess it would be similar to this one over here, that the first Eid comes and says Nitmes, and the second one comes and says, you know what, I was there at the same time and she didn't become Tomei. Or one woman says she became Tomei and one woman says she did not. Then she would drink, because then we say the two edim cancel each other out, basically. So therefore, we're back to the original suffix, and then therefore she'd have to drink. By the way, in the Kal v'chomer that we were mentioning before, there is also the whole issue of raglayim and ladavar. That also factors into the situation over here. Once there was kinnui already, then there's already raglayim madavar. That's something that's a matter over here, and therefore there's more of a reason, that certainly according to the other, to say that stira doesn't need two edim. And the same thing as far as tumah, that we're saying that besides that we have a pasuk for edim, but there's also the logic that raglayim madavar creates more of a reason to say that there's a stronger possibility of tumah over here.
Raglayim madavar works only as her detriment. It doesn't work as a benefit when there is an aid that says she didn't.
If there's an aid that says she didn't become tummy, then anyway she still has to drink the soita water. Then we still have the regular suffix of the soita. We're talking about over here. This that we said that you need two aidim according to the other for kidney, and none for stira. Or according to the issue, you need two for one and two for the other. And we had another opinion at the beginning of the Masechta that you don't need any for kidney, but you need two for stira. But you only need one for tumah. Part of what factors into that is the fact that once you get to the kinnui and stira, for tumah, you have a glayim or dover, and therefore one aid is already enough to establish that.
Even if the other one says no.
No, so if you have one says yes and one says no, then that's what we're saying. We throw the whole thing out. We'll talk about a lot of the details of what kind of aidim we're talking about, and then what the scenario is. Anyway. If one aid comes and says she became Tomei, and two say she did not, So here's where Rashi says that meaning, in other words, you came and found them in Stira, but we were also there, and we know that while we were there, she didn't become Tomei. So then, Hoisa Shoisa, so then she would drink, because what do we have? We have one aid saying yes, two aid him contradicting him and saying no. So therefore,
we don't need this case.
And that's what the Gemara is going to talk about, why we need all these various cases. The Gemara is going to get to why we need all these various cases. Wait.
They all came at the
same time. And that's also what the Gemara is going to talk about. Wait. The point so far is, basically, that on the face of it, once one aid came, then since if no other aidim had come, we would believe him at that point, and he says, Nithmate, he has the strength of two aidim. So it takes two other aidim to take him down. But if two Adim come and say she became Tomei, and one says she did not, then she wouldn't drink because the one aid can't contradict the two.
Then
we have to assume based on those two Adim that she's Tomei, and then divorce and no ksuba. Because they said two Adim said nitnis. So the Gemara starts off. Hi Talmud Lomar Kimotza Ve'Eres Dover. What do you mean that you're learning fact that you need two Adim for Kinui or for Stira, that you're learning it from the Gzeda Shava of Dover Dover? We have a different thing. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Talmud Lama Ba, the Pasuk says the Aid Ain Ba, where the word Ba in her is a mute, Ba Veloi Bekinui, Ba Veloi Mestira. The Mishnah should have said that we learn it from the fact that it says Ba, implying that one Aid is enough to prevent her from drinking when it's an Aid of Tuma, but not when it comes to the Kinui and not when it comes to the Stira, for those who need two Aidim. According to Rabbi Yeshua. The answer is Hachanamikama. You're right. That's actually what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah is missing words, basically. It's a chsura mechsura. The reason why we know that you don't need two Aidim for Tuma, but you need it for Kinui and for Stira, Talmud Lama, Ba, 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 the Kinui, Ba, 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 the Stira. Now, what the Mishnah is saying is something else. Tuma Ba'alma, Ba, Kinui, Ba, Stira. In general, if you have a case of Tuma, without having been preceded by Kinui, without having been preceded by Stira, where in that case we say one aid is not believed, unlike in the case of a Sota, where one aid is believed that she's Tomei.
Yeah, Raglaim L'Dover.
That's the point. In a regular case where there's no Raglaim L'Dover, how do we know that one aid is not believed? That's why that we need the Gzeira Shavah. Nemachan Dover v'Nemalahon Dover, Malahon V'Shnei Eidim, Malchan V'Shnei Eidim. So meaning that we have to understand this Gzeira Shavah differently than we used it, than we thought that it was in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we thought that Gzeira Shavah is teaching us that you need two Aidim for Kinui and two Aidim for Stira. Now we're saying, no, that we know from a different passage, from Ba. From the scenario over there was we're talking about an ordinary case, not a case of a sofa, where a husband finds out that his wife was Mizana without there having been kinui beforehand, and we're saying we need two aidim in order to require him to divorce her. Kimotaba Eves Dover. Mishnah said, aid omen nitmeis, that if one aid says she became Tomei and one aid says that not, then we throw it out and we say that it's as if there were no aidim, so she goes out and drinks. But the Gemara says, time to come back, Kishle. So what do we see? The Mishnah is implying the reason why we do that is because you have another aid contradicting the first one. Holoi, kamak Kishle, aid achem mehemen. But if he doesn't contradict him, we're saying that one aid is believed. Rashi points out, we don't need that implication from the Mishnah. We said earlier in the Mishnah that if one aid says she became Tomei, she doesn't drink. The reason why we're bringing this part is because we want to use it as a basis for a question. The first part that said that one aid is believed, okay, you know, but now that we're saying that if one aid contradicts him, then we throw the whole thing out, that's going to lead us to a question. Menanim, really. So where do we see this? The Tanur Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says that Eid Ein Ba, it says there's no Eid on her. B'shnayim Akasim Medaga. The Pasuk means that there are not two Eidim. After Omer B'shnayim, Ein Ela Be'achad, you would say that Eid means two Eidim, maybe it only means one. Tamad Loim Allah Yochum Eid Echa B'Ishchola. We have a Pasuk in Parshas Shoftim that says that one Eid cannot stand up against the person to make him Chayav Momoin or Misa. Once the Pasuk says an aid should not stand up, the word aid is singular, so necessarily it means one. No, matam adam echad, so why does the Pasuk specify echad? We had this at the beginning of the Masechta also. Zeb bana av, so this creates a binyan av. Kol mokum shenema aid, harei kan shnayim. Whenever the Torah says the word aid without specifying further, it means two. Av sheyifrit l'cha akasav echad, unless the Pasuk specifies by adding the word echad, like it does by layokum aid echad v'ish. But Amar Rahman, a trade less
means two, and so
aid, unless it says aid echad. Then what we say is the word aid basically doesn't mean a witness, it means witnessing. It means witnessing. It means the act of witnessing, which requires two aid. So now the Pasuk is saying, the Pasuk is saying there are not two aidim against her that she was tamei, there's only one. And the Pasuk continues, asura. That if we know that if she was not raped, then she would be asur to her husband. That is how we learn from the aid and ba, that one aid is enough to asur her to her husband after pinui. Because what we're saying is that we're saying there's not two aidim. We're saying there's not two aidim, but there has to be something. So meaning by implication, there's only the aid and bar. There's not regular aiders. There's not two aidim. There's only one. If she had been raped, then fine. She'd be mutter to her husband unless he's a kohen. But he learned his pasa. Then one aid is enough to ask her. That's how we parse the pasa.
So we're still saying that aid means aid echad.
No, we're not. We're saying that aid and ba. There are not two aidim against her.
Yeah, but we can.
Now, one second. What the pasuk is saying is like this. We learned this at the beginning of the Masechta also. This pasuk is not telling us the circumstance when she would drink the cider water. The pasuk rather is telling us the circumstance where, because there was pinui already, she's going to be also to her husband. What is that circumstance? The aid ain't bar, there are not two aidim against her. Now, you can't say it means there are no aidim, because you have to have some kind of evidence in order to ask her to her husband permanently. So you need two factors in order for her to be also to her husband permanently. The aid ain't bar, there are not two aidim, but by implication there's one. And the healing is possible that it was berotzin and not ba'oinus. If you have those two factors, then she'll be also to her husband.
How do you comment? Prove that she was not forced. You have to have someone to say that she was not forced. So you're saying one aid can apply to two things? Is that what we're saying?
Well, he's testifying. Well, again, according to Rabbi Yeshua, he had two aid him for the spirit anyway, but we're talking about for the trauma. So then that's one thing. He's testifying to the trauma, and that it was very clear that she didn't scream out or whatever. He's testifying on that there was a tumor, but not then. It's one thing.
Okay. Anyway.
He actually sees at least the sheet all coming up, and he sees them in position, whatever, yeah.
She didn't scream.
Yeah. So that brings us to the question. So then we got to ask the question in our Mishnah. You're telling me that if one aid comes, then another aid comes and contradicts and we throw the whole thing out. But why? Based on what we just said, if the Torah is believing one aid, once one aid comes and we believe him, how is the second aid able to contradict him? Ula says a general rule, whenever the Torah believes one aid, which is not only in our case over here, we have a few cases. In Yevamos we talk about that one aid can testify that a woman's husband is dead, she can remarry. There are a few other cases in Isser and in different dinim of Isser and Heter where we believe one aid. Also we'll have at the end of the Masechta when we talk about Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is brought when you have a dead body where you don't know who killed him. If even one aide comes and says, I know who killed him, then there's no Egla Rufa. So that's another example where the Torah believes one aide. Whatever. In all those cases, Harei Kan Shnayim. And that one aide has the force of two aiding, has the power of two aiding. The end of Shalach and B'makam Shnayim. You can't take one aide against two. So why don't we say that if the first aide comes and says, Nitzmes, the fact that another aide comes later on and says, Loi Nitzmes, so what? You're trying to contradict the equivalent of two aidim. You can't do that. Ela Omar Ula, Tony Lo Heisa Shoisa. So in fact, Ula says, you're right, we have to change the words of the Mishnah. It's not that if there was one aid against one aid, Heisa Shoisa, like we said, we throw the aidim out and then we say that we go back to the original suffix and she drinks. No, rather we have to say that in that case she doesn't drink because you have one aid saying Nitzmes. And you have later on another aid, which has the power of two, and you have one aid coming and saying that not, but tough luck. You can't accept that. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchok lo yitzeh shoyseh, and Rabbi Yitzchok said the same thing. The Mishnah is supposed to say lo yitzeh shoyseh. However, Rabbi Chiya Amar Rabbi Yitzchok lo yitzeh shoyseh. However, Rabbi Chiya still sticks to the lashon of our Mishnah that she does drink. Which, in that case, Rabbi Chiya kashed Ula. So, according to Rabbi Chiya, how does that fit with what Ula is saying? Now, okay, granted, I mean, Ula is an Amora. Rabbi Chiya can argue with him, but Rabbi Chiya is basically an Amora. He has a certain power of a Tana, but not, for the most part, no, not against the Stam Mishnah, anyway. But what Ula is saying is a fact. As far as we know, everybody agrees with it. The how and so. So how does Rav Chiya's understanding fit with that? The answer is Lekasha, Kan Bavasachas, this is what you were saying, Kan Bavasachazeh. It depends whether these Edim came at the same time or whether they came one after the other. If they came at the same time, so Rashi says at the same time means they both said their Edim specifically did. So the first aid said nitmes, and within Tereshit HaDibur, before even the time elapses to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, the second aid jumps in and says Loi nitmes. So then the first one, Eidos, was never formally established. When do we say that he has the power of two Eidim if he said his Eidos and then left? And then the second person came in. That would be Bezach HaZeh. Okay, but that's you have that in a number of places in halacha that
I mean, in a situation,
it doesn't matter. If one aid comes and immediately another aid contradicts, then the first aid has never really gotten his power to aid him yet.
And why would you say that if he comes afterwards, the second testimony is weaker than the first?
That's because the first one was already accepted. The first one was already heard out and accepted and has the power of two. Tosfos discusses that actually it's different. Tosfos talks about the idea that actually what you would need is, in order for it to be considered Bazar Chazer rather than Vasachas, it would have to be that not only the first aid testimony was accepted, but they actually paskined according to it. So the first aid came, he said Nitma, so therefore based in paskin, okay, well then no Mesaita, go divorce her and you're gonna forfeit your Ksuba. And then the second aid walks in, as opposed to if the second aid came in before Beis Din had a chance to adjudicate the case, even though it was after Tosfos HaDibur, then nevertheless you'd still say that he contradicted him.
You would think that Beis Din would wait a certain amount of time before the other aid comes, if there is a suspicion that there's another aid.
I don't know, they have no reason to suspect there's another aid, I don't know.
But at least check that there is no other aid.
They have to, fine, we're talking about, they have to interrogate the aid. Obviously, when this first aid comes, they don't just take him at face value, they have to ask him the details. But according to Tosfos, as long as, until they actually decide, okay, based on this, then no may so. The Shach talks about in one place in Yerodea the possibility that maybe there's a difference between things Deraisa and things Derabanan. Here we're talking about a situation Deraisa. In Yuvamis, where we also talked about that one aid is believed to say that a woman's husband is dead, that's actually the Derabanan that we accept one aid in that case. We talked about in a bunch of places in Yuvamis. No, so therefore the difference could, so therefore that could be a difference whether we define the Vasachas the way Rashi does, that it's the Tosfos HaDibur, or whether we define it like Tosfos does, that it depends whether the case was actually adjudicated or not.
So in a case of Deraisa, how should we see it?
So in a case Deraisa, we would say that as soon as he said his thing after Tosfos HaDibur, then that's it. Or that he then already that's it. It's irreversible. Whereas in a case Derabanan, then yes. They also talk about the possibility that maybe over here, I mean, it's kind of a shev val pasta. What is based in adjudicating? What are they deciding over here based on this eighth testimony? There's not going to be Mesaita, as opposed to the case in Yuvamis, for example, where what are they saying? Based on this, you are allowed to go get married. There's a difference between saying what you can do versus saying what you're not going to do. Okay. So let's consider, the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look back at our Mishnah and see if we can use our Mishnah to support this difference. The Mishnah says, Eid hem and nitmes or shnayim hem and nitmes. If one aid comes and says she's tamei, and then two aidim come and say that she's not, hoisa shoisa, then she would drink. Which implies that if it was one against one, she would not. That seems to contradict Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya understands our Mishnah. He had the Girsa in our Mishnah, like we do in our Mishnah over here, Hoysa Shoysa, but based on the implication of the next case in the Mishnah, it seems that not. Well, look according to your own logic. Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Shnayim Omrim Nitmis Ve'echad Omer Lo Nitmis. The Mishnah continued with another case. Two Edim said that she became, the last case in the Mishnah, two Edim said she became Tomei. One said not. Lo Hoysa Shoysa, then she would not drink. Hochad Bechad Hoysa Shoysa. Evidently, then the implication, if it was one against one, she would drink. So the two parts of the Mishnah themselves are contradicting each other in their implication. Ella, so what do we have to say? So what do we have to say? Why are the various parts of the Mishnah not contradictory? And for that matter, why does the Mishnah need all these various cases? Because Ella Kula B'Psula Edus, rather the whole Mishnah is talking about all these one or two Edim over here, are all talking about people who have Psula Edus ordinarily. Women, Avadim, people who have committed various Avedus. So then, Gerdam Nechemihi, and therefore our Mishnah, these last few cases in our Mishnah about one versus one, or two versus one, or one versus two, would be according to the Nechemihi. The Tanya, the Nechemihi, Kol Mokum Shemin Atoda Eid Echad, whenever, in all the cases where the Torah believes one aid, so our case over here, the case of Eid is Isha, the case of Egla Arufa, etc., Holach Acha Roiv Deis, once Psula Edus are also being once one aid is being accepted, where one aid normally is not Kashal Edus, then what we're doing is we say that you go when you're dealing with Psula Edus, then you go according to the majority of people who are testifying. So not like in other words, if we're talking about in a case of regular Edus, for example, where you need a minimum of two Edim, then two Edim are the equivalent of 100. You have two Edim saying he lent him money and 100 saying he didn't. It's a tie. But in our case over here, or in a case where one aid is acceptable, and one aid normally is not an acceptable thing, then what it means is that whenever we're dealing with Psula Edus, then we have to go according to the preponderance of the evidence, the preponderance of witnesses. But also, shtei nashim b'ishachad, k'shnei nashim b'ishachad. So therefore, two women against one man are exactly the equivalent of two men against one man. Given that we're accepting Psula Edus anyway, then we have it. Two against one. It doesn't matter. The two Edim, in that sense, the two male Edim, who normally are Kashra Edim, are no stronger, for example, than two women or other Psula Edus. So that's what our Mishnah is saying, therefore. So if you have one aid against one aid, then it's a tie. If you have one aid says yes and two Edim say that not, you have two Edim saying that not, so therefore you should drink. Two Edim saying yes, one saying not, two against one, and therefore she doesn't. We consider her tummy. The Ikadamri, then we have another version of this statement, is like this. Kol Echad also Eid Echad Kasha Meikara. If one Kasha the Eid comes to begin with, so even though normally one Eid by himself is possible Eidus, but in this case we're accepting him, then Afilu Mei Noshin Nami Ke Eid Echad Damim. Then even if 100 women or other Psula Edus come afterwards, we'll consider them only the equivalent of one witness. The Hachad Mayaskinen, so what are we talking about over here in our Mishnah? When our Mishnah had mentioned the case of one aid says nitmes and two say loy nitmes, and we say that she drinks, why? Kivandasoi Isha Meikara, you have first a woman came, and then afterwards, and then afterwards, two women, or two ksherim, for that matter, it could be, it doesn't matter, came. So therefore, you say that so therefore we say hoisa shoisa, because you have two against one, and the two overpower the one, and therefore she goes and drinks. And according to this, then, we would have to understand, we would have to reinterpret what Rav Nechemia is saying as follows. Rav Nechemia, whenever the Torah believes one aid, you go according to the preponderance of aidim. And therefore, two women against one woman are the equivalent of two men against one man. So you always go according to the majority. But if you have two women against one man, then we say the two women have the same equivalence in halacha to one man, because since one man has validity in cases like this for aiders, two women also have equal validity, not more validity as we would have wanted to say before, because two women, but no, one equal validity because women in and of themselves are possible aiders. Therefore, ki palgo palgo dummy, so it's considered as if it's exactly balanced, one against one. So in the various cases, it doesn't matter, in other words, whether whether we're talking about so if we're talking with asachas, then you have if we're talking about that they all came with asachas, then you have then you have the two of them, they all balance each other out. They all balance each other out. If it's bezachazet, so if the one aid came, the one male aid came first, and the Torah believes him, then afterwards you can't have other people. You can't have, for example, two women coming or two men for that matter come and overturn him. So the last case of our Mishnah was two came and said, meaning two women said that that she's tummy. One kosher aid says no. Then we say that two women are the equivalent of one man as far as Avis is concerned, since the one man didn't come first, so he doesn't have any more power than the two women do, as opposed to if it was the other way around. If he had come first, then he would have more power because.
So you see that in this last case, the two women come first, and then you still wait for the one man to come up.
And we're not waiting nothing. If the two women come, we hear what they say. They said Tomei, okay. So if no other Adam come, then that's it, Tomei. If Besosir Gibor, according to Rashi, during the deliberations, according to Tosfos, the one man comes, then okay, you know, we'll say that's okay. It's, you know, we don't know which is which. Therefore, we're going to throw out the testimony of all the Adam and make a drink. Okay, the Gemara finishes off the Tarti with Sula Edus Lomeli. In that case, why do we need two cases of our Mishnah involving Sula Edus? Why do we need the case of one against two and two against one? The answer is Mao Detem, because otherwise we might think, Kiyaz Lim and Basa Rodeh Lachumra. When do we go according to the majority, according to the preponderance of Adim, Lachumra, in the sense that we're going to make her drink? We would only do that, Lachumra, in the sense that we'll accept the majority of them when that brings her to have to drink the soda water. So when we have one, that would be the case, where one aid says nitnis, and two women, for example, come and say loy nitnis, we say hoysa shoysa. We would think, fine, maybe there, we accept the preponderance of evidence because that makes her have to drink, which is a chumra. Ava lakula loy as linen, but maybe we would argue the other way around, lakula, to say that she doesn't drink, which is the last case, where two women came first and then one man came afterwards. You would think not. Kamash Maman, that's the chiddush. So my first point out over here, there is actually, in a way, there's a chumra and a kula to drinking. I mean, we're talking, Rashi is saying over here that the chumra is to drink and the kula is not to drink, but on the face of it, if she's not drinking, it means she's going to have to get divorced and lose her tzuga. That's a chumra. So each side has a chumra thing. That's why the mission needed both cases.
But she's still alive.
That's true. So there's a chumra to drinking the soda water in that she could die from it, but there's a kula in the fact that if she survives it, then she's mutter to her husband. There's a chumra to not being able to drink the soda water; she has to get divorced. But there's a kula to it that she's definitely alive. There's no possibility of her getting killed. So therefore, that's why we need both cases in the Mishnah, because you can't even say you'll have the cow one and then the chumra one from it, because each one has its own kula and chumra. I don't know what Mishnah means.